Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for culturalmining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. If you want a break from all the big budget blockbusters, why not turn to Europe for some great stuff? This week, I'm looking at three European movies all set in the 20th century. There's a Kafkaesque drama about an earnest prosecutor in 1930s Stalinist Russia, an animated biopic about a writer-director from Marseille, and a coming-of-age body horror drama set in an imaginary France. Two Prosecutors, directed by Sergei Loznitsa. It's 1937 in Bryansk, a small city in the southwest of Soviet Russia. Korniev, wonderfully played by Alexander Kuznetsov, is a young and earnest Communist Party member still wet behind the ears. He just graduated with honors from law school and is starting a new position as investigative prosecutor. The lawyer who previously held his job mysteriously disappeared. Korniev recently received a letter from an inmate at the local prison saying he has urgent information to pass on to him, the prosecutor. This letter is remarkable for a number of reasons. Letters like this never escape from the prison. It's written in human blood. And most important, Korniev has met the man who wrote it. But when he arrives at the foreboding prison gates, he realizes that talking to a prisoner is no ordinary task. He's stymied at every stage, forced to wait for hours in an empty room, told by the warden that there are thousands of prisoners there, so he can't possibly find him. Korniev has his block and cell number. And that the prisoner is suffering from a contagious disease, so for medical reasons, no one can go near him. But the lawyer is persistent, and finally, he is let in to meet the man. The prisoner, Stepniak, played by Alexander Filipenko, is a lawyer himself, and his message is grave. The NKVD, that's the forerunner to the KGB, is corruptly arresting all the old Bolsheviks and local party bosses, charging them with counter-revolutionary behavior, and then executing them once they confess. Stepniak doesn't trust Korniev, but when he repeats word for word the speech Stepniak himself gave at his law school, he realizes this is an honorable man. He reveals the horrible scars left from his constant torture. Only you, he says, only you can stop this terrible situation. You must go to Moscow immediately to meet with Stalin or another top Politburo member and let them know about the terrible situation in Bryansk. So the young man sets out by train to do his duty for his country, but will his trip actually change anything, or is he heading for disaster? Two Prosecutors is a dark historical drama about Stalin's great purge in 1937, in which between 700,000 to 1.2 million were arrested, tried, and executed, wiping out much of the civil service, party members, kulaks, and others. The film is slow-moving but powerful, like many Russian pics. It's told in a series of compelling chapters, including a monologue by an old soldier on a train based on Gogol's Dead Souls. And the scenes in Moscow's Byzantine bureaucracy are both absurd and chilling. Not an easy film to watch, but a compelling one. A Magnificent Life, co-written and directed by Sylvain Chomet. It's the turn of the previous century in a mountainous region of France. Marcel Pagnol is a little boy who likes writing poetry and is trying to invent a perpetual motion device. When he grows up, he wants to be a writer or a millionaire. But you can't have both, his parents tell him. He grows up in Marseille, passes his baccalaureate, and becomes a Latin teacher, but he still wants to write. So the first chance, he moves to Paris with his young wife for all the opportunities it offers. But when he gets there, he realizes they're forced to live in a garret, not the wonderful lifestyle he was expecting. Still, he bangs away at his broken-down typewriter in the hope of writing a successful manuscript. He tries his hand as a playwright under a pen name, but with little success. Critics hate his work, audiences are indifferent, and even his own father is less than enthusiastic. His wife, fed up with his repeated failures, leaves him. Finally, though, he has a hit and eventually returns to his roots for inspiration, creating characters for the Parisian theater who speak like they do in Marseille. Audiences fill his halls, and eventually a Hollywood mogul arrives at the door. He options one of Pagnol's scripts and releases a talkie under the great Alexander Korda. It's a huge success, with Pagnol using the profits to open his own studio, again in Marseille. One success after another, along with a series of lovers. As his career and reputation grows, he suffers the German occupation, eventually selling the studio rather than working as a Nazi propagandist. But at some point in the 1950s, his popularity seems to wane. Then Elle magazine asks him to write a serialized memoir of his childhood. And somewhere along the way, his boyhood self, young Marcel, who has followed him for most of his young life, reappears and helps him pick up his pen again. A Magnificent Life is an animated biopic based on the memoirs of the producer, director, and writer Marcel Pagnol. It covers most of the major events in his life, along with short clips from his stage plays and films. I'm vaguely aware of Pagnol's works, but mainly through remakes like Fanny, Jean de Florette, and Manon des Sources, which were all made after his death. Perhaps devotees will get more from his tribute than I did. But honestly, I found it boring and tedious, chronologically plodding along from one event to the next one. It's also dubbed into English, though much of the humor seems based on the regional French dialects. I think they use Welsh accents in the English version, to no great success. And it's resulting in stiff and clumsy dialogue. The illustrations are quite beautiful, but I found the animation itself, the movements of these images, pedestrian. The one interesting twist is the appearance of the young Marcel, who appears as partly as real and partly imaginary, where other characters actually physically interact with little Marcel, Pagnol's younger self, without realizing who it is. But Marcel, like the film, eventually fades away. This movie would be a lot more magnificent if it weren't entirely lacking in passion, humor, whimsy, and tears. Alpha, written and directed by Julia Ducournau. It's the 1990s in a foggy French port city. Alpha, played by Mélissa Barros, is a young teenage girl with glasses who lives with her single mom, a doctor, played by Golshifteh Farahani. There's a mysterious virus going around, one with frightening side effects. Those infected develop white patches on their skin, which eventually morph into obsidian or white marble-looking statues with ripples of dark lines. Anyone showing signs of the virus is shunned. Maman spends most of her time after hospital, which serves both as a refuge for those infected, and for palliative care. There's no known cure or vaccine for the virus. But Alpha is forced now to share her bedroom with a newcomer, a complete stranger. Amin, played by Tahar Rahim, is actually her uncle, her mother's brother, who met her years ago when she was just a child, but now, as then, he's a junkie, always looking for his next fix. He's there to detox so his sister can save his life once more. But everything changes when Alpha goes to a late-night house party with her sort of boyfriend, Adrien. He gets her high, but then leaves her unguarded. She awakens in a misty haze to someone giving her a prison-style tattoo, needles jabbing black dye into the skin on her shoulder in the shape of an A for alpha. And everybody knows how this virus spreads, through blood and body fluids. Was the needle clean? Has she been infected? When she arrives back at school with a bloody patch on her arm, rumors start to circulate. Girls bully her in the gym locker room, and she almost drowns in the swimming pool. But the principal, instead of coming down on her side, says, without any evidence, she must stay home until they know for sure she's negative. How will Alpha handle her new status? Will Amin ever shake his addiction? And can Maman protect her daughter and brother even while tending to her patients at the hospital? Alpha is a coming-of-age story set in an era of fear and uncertainty. It's brilliant, rich, creative, and multifaceted. Du Courneau has invented an imaginary 20th century France filled with an angry populace striking out at non-existent enemies, but tempered by Alpha's charming naivete. It uses elements of body horror to convey the panic and fear during both the HIV epidemic in the 80s and 90s, where the film takes place, and as well as references to the recent pandemic, and incorporates the Berber language, mysticism, and magic within Alpha's extended family. The acting is superb, both the more famous Rahim and Farahani, but also newcomers like Boro as Alpha, and same with many of the smaller roles. I love Du Courneau's shocking over-the-top film Tzitzen, with its gender-shifting sex and violence, but Alpha is so much more complex. It's tender, intimate, and personal. This is one excellent movie. Alpha, A Magnificent Life, and Two Prosecutors all open this weekend in Toronto. Check your local listings. This is Daniel Garber, The Movies, each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM. And on my website, culturalmining.com.